Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I've been on a series that Pastor Daniel encouraged me to continue, and I want to thank Pastor Daniel, who could be on right now. Not too sure. He might watch at a later date. But thank you, Pastor, for allowing me the great privilege to declare the word of the Lord and to preach and encourage. We have a tremendous staff that I love to hear preach, and we also host powerful men and women of God in this place who are tremendous preachers. And I just consider it such an honor that the pastor would ask me to do the same. Thank you, Pastor Daniel, for allowing me to preach God's word. And he encouraged me that this series that I've been doing the last couple of moments that I've got to preach, I've called it Planted, and it's just resounding in my heart. And he's asked me if I could continue that. So tonight I'll be continuing on the series called Planted. And I brought something just for fun. I found some treasures today hiding out in my garden. This is a squash, crookneck squash. It's gotten a little overzealous. It's busting out at the seams. This is one of the smaller ones that we've picked out of our garden. This guy was hiding in there. Anybody do gardening? I'm a little disappointed in my garden this year in some areas, but in others, I'm kind of satisfied. I like to make my own jalapeno jam. Anybody like spicy jellies and jams? Oh my. I like to make my own, so I have about 40 to 44, I can't remember, jalapeno plants in my greenhouse right now, and they're just not as fruitful as in years past. We've had not as much heat. Anyone know what I'm talking about? We found this guy hiding out in amongst. This is a zucchini, and we found him hiding out. There was a larger one. We ate it. It was good. Just for fun, I brought those, and just kind of goes with our series because our goal is to be fruitful. Jesus presented a dilemma in John 12, and a few, however long ago, worship services, I don't know, I had the wonderful privilege to preach, and I preached from John 12 in that Jesus presented to the disciples, they had a decision to make about what their life was going to be like. And he says to them, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and is planted. Everybody say planted. Planted. It just remains a single seed. But if it does be planted, it can produce many seeds. And he presents this to the disciples, knowing if he could, he would choose for them to be many seeds. But he leaves the decision up to them. And it speaks clearly to us about what our life's going to be about. We can make it a singular purpose, us, me, myself, and I, all my hopes and dreams and goals, and get to the end of my life and wonder if it was really worth it all. Or we can spend our entire life producing fruit for the kingdom of God in whatever arenas that he puts us in, seeing ourselves planted somewhere and producing fruit. Do you know what fruit he's talking about? He's not talking about squash and zucchinis. He's talking about people. He's talking about people. We should have people hanging off of our life. Evidence of what God is doing in our life affects other people. We're supposed to have fruit. People. So we can be a single seed and live our whole life pursuing our selfish desires and our own goals and dreams, or we can be planted. Somebody say planted. And so what I've done is looking at the early church in the book of Acts, I see people that got planted in Jesus, planted in their local church. And I'm bringing out what you see in their life. last whatever day I preached, I think it was a Wednesday night. Was it last Wednesday? Was it really? I think it was last Wednesday. I preached on Planted, the Power of Serving. And we looked at Acts chapter 6 and we saw a growing church that needed a structure change. And they raised up these men, and there was some characteristics about these men, but they raised these men up and put them in place of serving. And when they did, the church grew in number. And then we looked at what happened to those men, because some of the most tremendous, amazing New Testament stories happened to the very men who were food program workers. And we looked at how we could have that same kind of fruitfulness in our own life. Tonight, we're going to look at another aspect of being planted. Planted in Jesus and planted in the house of God, producing fruit. You and I producing fruit. And the aspect tonight is being a people of prayer. We're going to look at a number of things that have to do with prayer. And I took a big risk, even just saying I'm going to preach about prayer, because after 25 years of ministering in all types of settings, I realized there's two subjects people automatically check you out on the moment you say what you're going to preach about. The first one is anything that has to do with money. They just turn you off. Some people probably already, I just said the word money and some people checked out. The other one is prayer. Two critical components to grow a church. People have to be all in giving, and people have to be praying, or the kingdom of God is not going to advance and touch a whole community and produce many seeds. So I took a big risk even saying the word prayer. And I'll get to why that is in just a minute. Why is it such a subject that we all of a sudden find ourselves dozing off? Hey, you know what? Sometimes I have trouble staying awake too after a super long day. Let me recommend, you see these little mini Altoid minis? Put about 10 of these in your mouth at once. Works. Make sure you got some Kleenex, because you might have to daub your eyes. The peppermint is just like, whoo, whoo. Take your Bible, if you would, and I'm going to read in just a moment. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to look at a number of scriptures, but I want to tell you a story to just kind of get us into thinking about this planted, being a people of prayer. My sons and I are we're kind of a road trip family, and maybe you're like that too. You like to go on long drives. We like to do that. And here recently, and I'm not exactly sure which trip to visit family it may have been on. Anyway, some time ago, we were on a road trip, and I'm one of those people that will stop at a, well, I don't know how you want to say it. If you see like a sign that catches your attention, world's biggest rubber band ball. Oh, we got to stop and look at that. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? I like to go in those truck stops and see what kind of little things they're trying to sell you in there. I think it's hilarious. The little things about their state. You're like, I don't want to live in this state. And they're just, I love whatever it is. I don't want to demean any states. You probably love where you live. I don't. I love where I live, where God has planted me. So we saw this sign, voted world's best ice cream. Oh, Minister Hank, I've got to stop. It didn't take much arm twisting from my kids to get me to pull in, voted world's best ice cream. Wow, that got my attention. Let's go try it out. Me and another one of my sons, we have kind of a tradition. Every business that we go to, if they offer free coffee, we're trying it. We haven't had very much good coffee at those places. I don't want to tell you which one has the worst, but it's spelled all of them. I like my home coffee, but just for fun, we like to go try someone's free coffee at their business. So if I walk into your business, moving on, I'm looking for the free coffee stand. Oh, and you know what? Sorry, I'm going to get there in just a second. Oh, they already started my clock. During COVID, all those businesses stopped serving their free coffee things. That was more depressing than all of everything else that had to do with the COVID, the mask, the separation. It was all the free coffee was done. Wow. Cloud of depression descended on me. World's greatest ice cream, voted. That must mean a lot of people somewhere. So we go, we're like, we got to try this. We go in, and what we found was very different than what the sign said on the front of the store. The experience was far from what we expected it to be. We had this expectation of, well, there must have been a lot of people that come through here and try this world's voted. To me, that means there's a lot of people that come through here. So I was expecting like trophies and a plaque on the wall from, you know, one of those restaurant voted, you know, 7 times world's best ice cream certificates, you know, something from some news station or one of those Food Network guys came to our, anyone know what I'm talking about? You know, Mr. Dine-In Drive guy came by. Here's his picture. He had our ice cream. I thought that's what I would find there. That's not what we found there. Dirty floor, dirty counter, worker, the people working look disheveled and like 6 miles of bad road. No joy. The containers of the toppings looked sketchy. They haven't been washed in a while. It's kind of like that coffee pot at the gas station where it says made fresh daily, and you know that hasn't been washed in 3 months. You know, one of those, and we're in there and we're like, whoa, okay. Maybe this is like one of those really good, you know, barbecue joints, because I'll go in the hole in the wall barbecue joint because they know what they're doing. So we get the ice cream, and it wasn't very good. Wah, wah. And I told that story to lead into this being a people of prayer, because it reminds me of a lot of people that say they're following Jesus and they're all in with Jesus, but then when you start to investigate them, they don't have a life of prayer at all. And if you don't have a life of prayer, you don't have a life of power. Anyone that says they're a Christian, when someone at work or in your neighborhood finds out you're a Christian, there should automatically be something that resembles Jesus, the miracle worker, the person that healed people, delivered people. And if that's not in our life, something's missing. We have to be planted in prayer. A prayer life is a powerful life. No prayer, no power. We're just a sign out front with nothing really to prove what the sign says. 2 Corinthians, would you stand with me for just a moment and let's get into being a people of prayer, giving you a picture that what we experienced with the ice cream sign and the ice cream that actually was produced. We're going to look at how we can reverse that in our life and actually be a person of prayer and be a people of prayer. Let's take a look here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to look at what Paul writes to the Corinthians, verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Can you read that again with me? As you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Father, come speak to us. You have impressed upon me these various facets of being planted. Help me to communicate today. And God, would you move us here in Wasilla, Kings, Alaska, into another revelation of prayer and efficiency in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated on this Wednesday night. If you happen to be the owner online of that store, you got some work to do to match the outside of the sign. I just used it as an example. What Paul is expressing is the effects of a group of people that were joined together in praying. He's in a most dire circumstance. In fact, they have in their heart that they're going to die. They have this some sort of understanding, this is the end. It was great. Thank you, God. This is the end. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those circumstances. I have. I clearly understand when I was floating out in the ocean all by myself with no one to help me and started looking at the bottom and how deep it was, I started weeping and thanking God because I understood it was the end. Obviously, I didn't drown and my life didn't end. That's a different story for a different time. But I understand what that we had the sentence of death in our heart was, and that's what they were experiencing, and they were ready to move on. This is the end. And yet something turned the circumstance around. It was a church that was praying, brought them through. They weren't there with them, but they were doing something powerful and effective that turned the tide of the circumstance. It was praying. Must have been something different than, God, thank you so much for this food. Blessed amen. God help them. Or that quick response when somebody tells you that you see on Facebook or somebody messages you a dire circumstance and you just kind of send a praying, but you never did say anything. It must have been something different than that. And let's talk about tonight. I want to bring to you, before we can be a people of prayer, we have to be a person of prayer. So in the book of Acts, and we're going to get to that in just a minute, we're going to look at scenarios where God's power was released in miraculous proportion, supernatural power, because the body of believers were praying together. And that's what I'm referring to when I say being a people of prayer. I'm talking about our body, our church, our families, our teams, our life groups, being a people of prayer. We can't do that until we are individually a person of prayer. Or what we end up with is a whole bunch of people gathered and no one's saying anything except the person on the microphone. And then you have people that just came to watch and listen. That's not the same thing as what I'm talking about, being a people that pray. I don't know if you've ever been in large crowds that are all praying with their voices lifted. It feels like the place is shaking. In fact, we're going to read a little passage here in a minute where it says that very thing. But being a person of prayer, being a people of prayer, starts with the people that are there. We must be a person of prayer first. So let's address that in our own life, being a person of prayer. Prayer was life to the Apostle Paul. I'm going to read you a few scriptures, certainly not all of them, but just a few. We could be here a really long time if I decided to read all of them, because Paul's life revolved around prayer. It was central to all that he was doing. Pray. Look at the way he describes in these few verses. Look at the way he describes prayer. In first, he's writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. He says, night and day, We pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Look at that. Night, day, pray most earnestly. He writes again in the same letter in chapter 5, and he tells them these two words that are really hard to understand until you become a person of prayer. It's pray continually. A person of prayer understands what that means. Someone that sees prayer as a laborious, check mark that they're just trying to get every day. Oh God, I'm just trying to get to prayer. You don't understand what pray continually means. Need a different revelation of prayer. Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 12, verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Faithful in prayer. Look at the next one on Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. He writes to the church and he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote. Think about that for just a moment. Devote yourselves. Devotion. Something more than just happenstance. I happen to have gone to prayer today. It fit in my schedule. Devote yourselves to prayer. It's a charge that their life should revolve around prayer instead of prayer around their life. Let me say that again. I would write that down. And if you didn't hear anything else I say before or after this, please hear this quote from Dr. Morocco. We must revolve prayer. We must revolve life around prayer instead of prayer around life. If you revolve prayer around your life, you'll never pray. Because there will always be something that shows up instead of praying. Let's talk about some ways to have an effective personal prayer life. If you're writing notes, you want to write some of these down. Principles of an effective prayer life. We can't be a corporate body of powerful prayer until we can be individuals that understand how to pray. I want you to write these down if you're taking notes. Number one, we must intentionally create a sacred time of prayer. Think about Jesus. He got up early in the morning and went away to a place of prayer and cried out with loud cries and groans from the book of Hebrews. So he's giving us a picture of his effective praying, and we should mirror that. Set a time and a place. It's what I'm bringing to you right now is the first step to growing your personal prayer life. Go to a place of prayer. You know why we have early morning prayer here? Why is it early? In Maui, it's at 5:30 in the morning. We're kind of after that. It's one of the things I rejoiced in when I moved to Alaska. The Sunday morning staff prayer was at 5 when I was on that team for 15 years. And I lived way up country and took 30 minutes to get there. I got up at 3:30 every Sunday morning to get to prayer so I could be on time and not scooch in. Oh, made it. Maybe it counts. I got up at 3:30, left the house at 4:30, got to prayer at 5. Why do we have prayer so early? It's because we're trying to help people have a time of prayer before the day spins out of control. That's part of this sacred time of prayer. In the creating a sacred time of prayer, we have to remove distractions. I clearly know if I open my phone, 15, 20 minutes will go by, and I will have missed my time of prayer. I'm going to tell you a personal testimony. This is so real to me. When I moved here in 2015, my family drove up to Alcan. We moved here. the Lord charged me. In one of the first few weeks that we were here, the Lord charged me. It was a clear word from him. I want you to double your prayer time. So from that moment until still today, I'm 2 hours a day every morning. And I've discovered that it works for me if I take everything out of my pockets, put it on the table right out here in the lobby, and walk away from it, carrying my cup of coffee while I walk away from all the distractions. That's why one of the reasons having your sacred time at home may not always be effective, because you're going to look over there and see the dishes that didn't get done, or the dog's going to whine at you and want out, and then 30 minutes has gone by and you missed the whole time doing little things around the house. That's why these doors are open for early morning prayer. That's why we have Friday night prayer, so that you can have a sacred place to go to, not full of distractions. It's a part of an effective prayer life. Get rid of all those things. You might have to do some examining. The next thing you must, number two, you must understand the real enemies of prayer. And there's three of them that I want to highlight. The first one is the world and the philosophy of the world that prayer just isn't worth the effort. There's something better you could be doing with your time. We live such busy, go, go, go lives. For us to actually have a time of prayer, we have to stop that mentality. But the world doesn't think like that. The world says it's foolish. And I'm going to pause right there. I didn't see you earlier, Donna. I wanted to say to you that when I saw your name on the KSM, I'm going to walk right by you. Is that all right? When I saw your name on the KSM list, my heart jumped. I was so thrilled. And I believe the word of the Lord for you that he's speaking to me is that you've taken a step in the natural, and God's going to open the supernatural for you. That there's been some things that you've been hoping will change and go a different direction or get through or whatever that means, but you've taken a step in the natural that may not make a lot of sense in some other areas, but God's going to show up and do the supernatural in Jesus' name. And I'm so thrilled for you, because we're all going to watch it happen. Amen. Amen. That might be a word for you too. You can receive that. Step in the natural allows God to do the supernatural. Giving, praying, serving, whatever it might be. Understand the real enemies of prayer. The first one's the world suggests it's not worth the time, and anything else is better for your time. The second one is the devil. He's a real devil. He's bad, and he tries to develop ways to make sure that you don't make it to prayer, whatever that might be. That does happen. And the last one is the most powerful one you're going to have to deal with, and it's self. It's self, our sinful nature. What does Romans say? That our sinful nature does not want to do the things of God. The devil doesn't have to work too hard if you're so weak that you give in to your sinful nature and all of its cravings. He doesn't have to work very hard. In fact, he doesn't have to do anything. You're doing it all yourself. Don't blame the devil because you hit your alarm clock 15 times. Ah, the devil. Bang. 9 more minutes. Cozy. Have you ever noticed you're the most comfortable in your bed when your alarm clock's going off? Anybody else? Your bed is the most comfortable. You have the world's greatest pillow when it's time to get up for prayer and the alarm clock's going off. Is anybody else like that? I have this phenomenon that happens to me. I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't go back to sleep. I know this never happens to you. My mind won't turn off. And I start thinking about all the great, wonderful things I get to do for Kings and that they're not done yet. And I'm laying in my bed. It could be 1:30, it could be 2. Usually on Sundays, I wake up at 3:30, and I'm laying there, and I'm like trying to go back to sleep. I know this is not you. This is me. I'm trying to go back to sleep, and then I'm finally drifting off. Does that happen to anyone else? Finally got back to sleep, and the alarm goes off. and I'm finally comfortable enough to go back to sleep. We have to deal. Our flesh does not want to do anything that pleases God, and it sure doesn't like discomfort. Our flesh loves comfort. Comfort of home, comfort of the bed, comfort of just a little more sleep, whatever it might be. We love comfort and we don't like discomfort. And I'm telling you, you must, to be a person of prayer in whatever shape or form that looks like, doesn't have to be here at 7 a.m. every day. You might be driving, you might be on the slope, whatever it be. But whenever you make a decision, I'm going to be a person of prayer, what you're going to have to fight hardest is you and your desire to be comfortable and your sinful nature that despises the things of God, doesn't ever want to do them. You have to crucify that. You have to take up your cross and follow Jesus. You're going to have to be planted. Jesus says, unless the kernel of wheat dies and is planted, it has to die. We have to die to ourselves to be a person of prayer. Moving on. Got a whole lot of amens on that one. Got a whole lot of hand claps, people standing, shouting. Wow. Awesome. Love that. Good job, Pastor Kirsten. Thank you, Pastor Daniel. Number three, ask God for a revelation of prayer. You must have a revelation of prayer. I've had two significant moments in my life that spurred me into prayer into another level, and it was a revelation. One of them was a dream, and the other one was somebody came up to me in the most unusual time and gave me a word. Here's what it was. I'll spare you the dream. I've shared it before. You can go find it on YouTube somewhere, somehow. Look it up. I was at leading early morning prayer on a Monday. Praise God for early morning prayer on Monday after a long Sunday, rejoicing that I got to get up and go to early morning prayer. I know it's not you, it's me, but sometimes I just don't want to get up. Maybe it doesn't always look like that, but there's many times I just don't. It's hard to get out of that bed and get down here. So I'm at prayer, and I don't know what it was. It was the end of a big event, and I literally had no energy. My voice was blown out from doing puppets or something. And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to be here. The coffee's not working. I really want to go back to bed. I'm just a real person. I know you're not like that sometimes, but you show up ready to firepower. But this particular moment, I had no energy, no voice, and I get up to lead in prayer, and I promise you, it was the worst corporate prayer meeting I've ever led because I had no life. I hurried it up, and I'm just like, oh God, I was praying, but there is just felt like there was no life coming out of me. But I was praying, but my physical body didn't feel like I was doing anything. My mind didn't feel like I was doing anything. And this person comes up to me after prayer and says, I got a vision while you were praying. Every time you open your mouth, it's a cannon going off and there's bombs coming out of your mouth to the enemy. And I'm standing there going, what are you talking about? This is the worst day of prayer. I am totally out of gas. And then I had this thought, could it be that effective prayer is not based on how my physical body feels? Could it be that I don't have to be in the mood to pray for it to be effective prayer? Could it just be that someone needs to pray, regardless of feelings, emotions, what the day was like? If somebody will just pray, bombs will be released in the supernatural if somebody would be willing to let it out of them. Could it be if you could just show up in your tired self with all of the hurts and twists and turns of life and just be a person of prayer, that you could do demolition in the heavenlies and not even realize it? Do you have to feel like it for it to be effective? No, you don't. You just have to be willing to be a person that prays. Where are we at? Those are the two revelations that totally changed my life. I pray to God tonight in some way you get a revelation of prayer. And I don't mean praying a little extra for your food. I mean something shoots you up in the morning and you're like, I must let something out today. My family, my business, my coworkers, they're going to hell unless somebody's willing to at least just start the process of praying for them. And what could happen in Wasilla if everyone here got a revelation of prayer and was beating on the door saying, I must get to prayer. Can you open a little early? I'm coming to pray. What would happen in Wasilla? What would happen to Anchorage if all the people that came to that meeting had a revelation of prayer and started getting up contending for their city? What could happen? We need a revelation of prayer. The next thing in making our prayer life effective is follow a pattern of prayer. Have a pattern of prayer. Have something that's going to direct your time. Because more times than not, until you're used to it, you don't know what to do. You show up at prayer and you're just watching or observing, hoping something will happen. Or you're just waiting. You don't even know what to pray. But if you've got a pattern to follow of your time, you'll find that you don't have enough time, that you've used up your time. I have a pattern every day. This is what I do. I walk in that door at 5:45. I go straight over in the dark because I don't want to turn the lights on because I don't want anybody to bother me. Don't come at 5:45. And I pour a cup of coffee. And for the next 30 minutes, I don't do anything but praise the Lord or speak in tongues. I don't have my phone. I don't have anything going on. Minister Hank is here many times. He's trying to get here before me. Father, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing. But I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost for 30 minutes. Paul writes to the Ephesians in 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. You're praying mysteries. You're praying the perfect will of God. I don't have to know what it is. It doesn't sound as loud as I am right now. It's not full of gusto. It's me trying to wake up. It sounds more like this. But I'm starting the prayer engine up. I'm getting a jolt in there of the Holy Ghost, and eventually I can pray the next level. 30 minutes, then right at 6:30 every morning, I pull out a photo, which I don't have with me. I pull out a photo of my wife and kids. And every year I get a new one. And I pull out a photo of my wife and kids. Maybe you've seen it. I bring it every morning. And I'm praying over every one of them every morning. It's my pattern of prayer. Then I come in here, get some things ready. I sit over there and I'm going through the word. I've got my own directive from the Lord of Bible reading, and I'm going with the church plan too on those mornings. So I do that, and then it's corporate prayer time. And I find I'm out of time. You should set a pattern, make a list, get up and start working that list, and watch what God does. Get a pattern. It's a part of being effective in prayer. The next one is pray in the Spirit. I already talked about that, Ephesians 6:18. And lastly, I already mentioned it, but you must get brutal with distractions. If you're not ready to get brutal with distractions, you're not ready to be a person of prayer. You're going to have to deal with all these little things that you've surrounded your life with that are peripherals that are keeping you. You put them there. You're sitting right in the middle of them. Leave that place, get to a place where there's no distractions. If we will do those things, we can be a person of prayer. We're not ready yet to be a people of prayer until we're a person of prayer. Otherwise, we're just observing and watching other people who are a person of prayer, or is. Would that be are or is? One of them. I think you heard me. Being a people of prayer, if we look at the early church and prayer, we see in Acts 4:31, and then again in Acts 12. Would you turn with me? Acts 12. We're just going to look at that one. We can go all through the New Testament and pull prayer out, but I think I've communicated well enough. I'm trying to stir you up. that there is power waiting to be released for you to do something, to pray. Chapter 12, Acts 12, verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Another one of these miraculous events that was turned because the church was praying. He's talking about a corporate setting. He's talking about a group of believers gathering together with intent and purpose, being intentional and praying, praying fervently, praying until it changes. Peter's broken out. It's a crazy story. And then you look down here at verse 12, he's out of prison. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. A picture of the early church. They had it figured out. They knew how to release God's power. It's prayer. And that same is true for us. It's not any different. Prayer is the means by which God's power is released. There's not another way. And might I say, along with it, there is no substitute for fasting. There's no substitute for fasting. Are you dealing with thoughts that you can't control? Are you having some desires that you wish would stop? Do you feel like your flesh is running over you? Are you drawn to sinful things by your flesh? Let me tell you, you go on a fast, you stop eating food until it breaks, it won't take long. You'll realize a fast affects your thinking, it affects your flesh, it affects your emotions, it affects your whole being. There's no substitute for a fast. Do you need a breakthrough? Do you need some wisdom? Go on a fast. Don't start with a 40-day water fast. You're going to hurt yourself. But do a fast of some kind. I don't mean I'm going to fast nail polish for a week. Or I'm going to fast this coffee shop and I'm going to go to that one instead. I'm on a fast. I'm talking about stepping on your flesh. What your flesh wants most is food. It's the sustainer of your flesh. So you stop eating the food and watch what happens to the rest of you. Your thinking and your believing and your feelings and your emotions. There is no substitute for a fast. My family's been doing a lot of fasting here lately. It's been quite humorous. Just for fun, I'll just tell you, we're on a family thing. And we've made a decision by the Spirit. We've been doing a family fast. And so me and a few of my other kids have decided we're not going to eat every day. We'll eat one meal a day, and it's at 5 o'clock. So guess what happens at 4:45? We look like a dog that's trying to get out in a hurry. What time is it? Anybody got a dog in their house that needs out? That's what I look like at 4:45, waiting on dinner. And Father, forgive my wife if it's at 5:01 and it's not ready. There's so much ugly that comes out of me. I didn't realize it was so terrible. I can really be an ugly person, Cindy. Wow. To the people that I love most, scratch their eyes out, step on them, yell at them, just for a plate of food? Really? Being a people of prayer, the people in Acts, the first church that existed, they knew how to touch a community, and it's prayer. They got to be moments of incredible miracles in the book of Acts. You see a link to a group of people praying. In the text that we read, 2 Corinthians, Paul links the deliverance God brought about to the prayer of the Corinthians, and he broadens it. Not just he that was delivered, but he says, so many people are going to be so grateful that you are a people of prayer. You're affecting way more people than you realize. That deliverance that happened to Paul, you prayed him out of this horrible circumstance, but you don't realize now the millions of people that he's going to touch because you prayed him out of that circumstance, and you're going to get the credit for it, and people are going to thank you. They're going to praise God that you prayed them out of that. It's not just one thing. It broadens it to all the people that Paul's going to affect. What could God do if we grasped becoming a people that pray? I believe God's speaking to us in this planted series, not only of serving, finding a place to serve, and letting God's power flow through us, but also being planted in prayer, planted in being a person of prayer and being a corporate body of people that pray. Moving to another level, I don't know what that might mean for you. Maybe it means starting afresh and anew in your commitment to prayer. Maybe it's I come to early morning prayer once a week. Maybe it's moving to two. Maybe it's seeing if you can get your job rearranged so that you can come. I don't know what that might mean for you. Maybe it's staying up a little later and having a sacred time of prayer. It might mean something different for you than it does for me to move in a greater realm of being a person of prayer. Maybe you need to move from being a two to a three. Or maybe you need to move maybe you see yourself as a five on the chart and you need to move to a six, whatever it might be. In this coming season, would you make a commitment to grow in the realm of prayer? Could we, as a body of believers, grasp what God could do through us if only we would be a body that prayed, really prayed? It's time to move into a greater emphasis in prayer in our families, on our teams, in your life group, more than just reciting things because it's the opening of the small group, but to begin to move into an understanding, having a revelation that the very words coming out of our mouth can shape the invisible world. They can. They have the ability to change men's hearts by speaking to the one that can change their heart. It's time to make a fresh commitment to prayer. Minister Micah, could you come over here to the amazing keyboard and pray some sort of corporate prayer? I'm going to grow in prayer song. I don't know what that would be. I've tried to bring some humor and stories into this, but for reals, it's time for you and I to see where we are at this point in history and realize that God's doing something amazing in Alaska. I don't know if you've traveled much, but what's happening here in this church is not happening all over the place. God's pouring out his spirit in Alaska and in other parts of the world, but there needs to be more of this. And whatever's happening here, however you want to describe it, it can move to touch the whole state. If we get a revelation of what happens, if we'll lift our voice together with our brothers and sisters and be a people of prayer, planted in prayer. Would you stand with me this evening? As I make my way up here to the stage, I want to put that question in your heart again and just ask you, would you be willing to move into whatever next step of prayer would be? Maybe it's being a greater person of prayer, or maybe it's being a part of a corporate people of prayer more than you were. Or maybe it's like you, maybe it's like me, and the Lord's charging you in some way, like he charged me to double my prayer time, which meant 1 hour to 2 hours. And I haven't missed it in almost 10 years. It's changed my life. I didn't really know what to do when I started doing that. I was just sitting there. But I've been growing in the realm of prayer. I'm growing. I'm getting better. I'm going to take a moment to act on this. I hope in some way I've stirred you, and those of you that are online, you can participate with us. But I'm going to ask you, if you would, for just a moment, consider where you are in prayer and what you could do to move into a greater emphasis. What could you do? What kind of rearranging could you do? Or what type of emphasis could you do with your family or your household? And I'm going to invite you, we're going to take a moment to pray for prayer, that we would be a people of prayer. We want to see all of Alaska, cities and villages, hear the word of the Lord, experience God's power, be set free from darkness. That's our great desire. There must be a people of prayer that are willing to pray it through. And I'm going to invite you, if you're willing to make an increase in your prayer walk, I'm going to invite you to step out from where you are. It might be a small step for you. Maybe it's a big thing God's speaking to you, but would you make your way up here and say, in that you're making a sign and a step in the natural, I'm going to move one step, two step, whatever it might be. I'm going to increase my praying time. Maybe you're a faithful person of prayer, and I'm so thankful that you are. Congratulations. Could you move to a slightly greater emphasis in your life of corporate prayer, gathering people to pray, helping someone else learn to pray? If you're willing to move to one more increase in prayer, being a people of prayer, come up here. We're going to pray. We're going to contend. And I'm going to ask Minister Heidi if she'd come and help me for just a moment. Pastor Tim's in the lobby. He's our lobby pastor tonight. And they have a tremendous heart for all night prayer. And I'm going to have her take a moment to lead us, that God would stir us up as families, as teams, as life groups, that God would download a strategy to us right now, release revelation to you. God could really release revelation to many people, even right now, if not every person, a dream, a vision, a word, a charge, and would cause this church to be a people of prayer, moving past watching other people pray and being a person of prayer yourself. Would you lift your voice and would you pray for your family, your household, your team, your life group, that they would also move to another level? Would you lead us in prayer?
Oh, Lord, we thank you that you have given us the powerful gift of prayer to be able to talk with you, to be able to speak out your will. Jesus said he only wanted to do what the Father said, what he saw the Father doing. He only did the will of the Father, and that's our heart, that we would do the will of the Father, that it would be on earth as it is in heaven. We ask that you would come upon us with the spirit of prayer tonight. That we would see what you see. We would be moved by what moves your heart. We would take the time to meet with the Father, to see what you're doing, and then be able to release it through our words and our actions in the earth. We pray that you would give us wisdom and strategies for prayer.
Yes,
that you
God.
Would help us to lead others
Stir
into
us
prayer.
Up, oh God.
That we would have a revival of prayer
Stir
in our own
up,
homes,
oh
our own families, our own areas
Stir
of influence.
Up.
That you would use us to impact
I
our,
pray,
our
release
sphere of influence. Influence, that we would be 360-degree leaders in prayer. We ask that you would give us the motivation and the conviction that only comes by your spirit when we don't feel like entering into prayer. When the distractions come, that you would lead us and guide us back to where we belong. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come, you would fill us with your power to pray effective prayers that are based on the word of God, that we would align our lives with your word and your will, that we would see your kingdom come and your will be done, oh God, on earth as it is in heaven. Come and have your way in us and through us, in Jesus' name.
Now would you pray in the Holy Ghost as we pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Spirit of the living God, come. Just as she prayed, download strategies, a releasing of vision, a fresh wave of revelation. Give us a fresh. Oh God, we are willing to be a vessel that you could operate through in the realm of prayer. You have restricted your power to people that would pray. God, we make ourselves available. We make ourselves available. to be used by you in the realm of praying. We're committing afresh and anew. Whatever the next level is for us, we're committing. Oh God, we're going to shake off all of our summer schedule, and we're going to put ourselves right into the structure of being fruitful in the realm of praying, serving, being planted in the house of God. Lord, we commit it afresh and to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're moving to another level. Hey, you may be seated. You may find your seat there. We have early morning prayer here. The doors open at 6:45. Pastor Tim leads on Thursdays. We've been reading through the McChaney Bible plan, and then we pray corporately. The first 30 minutes of our prayer time is personal prayer. You pray whatever way you want to. We do have some guidelines for the environment of the room. But then at 7:30, it's corporate prayer. We lift our voice together. Tomorrow, Pastor Tim will be leading. And we're so thankful. Thursday is my usual rest day. I'm here the other days of the week for prayer, but not on Thursdays. But Pastor Tim's here tomorrow. Praise the Lord. We never want to have a meeting without giving each person an opportunity to be made right with God. You might be here under the sound of my voice in this room or online, and you have a revelation in your heart that you're not right with God and you want to be. I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to help you pray a prayer that if you'll mean from your heart, God will come forgive you of sin and all things can start new, and you can start walking with him as he starts changing everything else around you. But the inside of you must be ready to repent. You must profess your faith that Jesus came to this earth for you, died on the cross for you, rose from the dead so that you could be forgiven and you could have heaven to come and heaven right now walking with Jesus. If you believe that in your heart and you're willing to confess, turn away from sin, confess Jesus is Lord, you can be saved. You can have everything starting tonight turn a different direction. If you need to get right with God, I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Why don't we stand tonight just before we move on? I don't want to dismiss our time together and not give opportunity to be made right with God, to be at peace with God. I'm going to invite you to pray with me, whether it's the first time that you've ever received Jesus as your Lord, or maybe you need to come back to him. Maybe you drifted in some way, or maybe you're just not sure if you're right, you and God are right. I'm going to invite you to pray with me on this Wednesday night. Would you bow your head with me, and would you pray this right out loud? Say, Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that Jesus came to this earth for me, and he died on the cross for me, and he rose from the dead so I could be forgiven and live with him for eternity. Come into my life, be my Lord, be my Savior. I'm gonna live for you from this moment on. I'm turning away from sin and I'm turning to you. Thank you for loving me and hearing my prayer. I wanna pray for you tonight. Would you lift your hands? Lord, I am clearly recognized right then someone made a life change and they're never going back. And I rejoice. Lord, I remember when I truly, truly invited you in. I so desperately needed you to change everything. And you started by changing the inside of me. And then things outside started getting changed. But the inside of me was clean and fresh and full of hope and at peace. And that just happened for a number of people here and people online. And I rejoice. I pray now a visitation of your power and your presence. And I thank you, God, in Jesus' mighty name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.